93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Is today your birthday, Chase?
Wow. Oh, it's my birthday.
Here we go. Thank you. Appreciate you playing that this morning. Had a good little celebration last night. It was good, and so look forward to the day. It's hard to transition that. All right, the phone lines are open, 205-342-9904. Good morning. It's a Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Download that app, that Tide 100.9 app. You can put that on your smartphone, and you can take us with you anywhere you go. You want to email us, do that at wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood, pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. All right, Saturday, I don't like 11 o'clock kicks, just for whatever reason. It's hot. It's hot. It was hot. I went to the game, Chase, and I could not even make it to the third quarter. It was so hot. So, good morning, guys. How are you guys this morning?
I'm okay. Let me have the show. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I want all my listeners to know that I'm taking him out for lunch. We'll go anywhere he wants to go. I'll drive him. I'll pick him up. He's always probably wants to drive himself. We'll go anywhere he wants to go. I'll feed him anything he wants to eat. And he's been a good son, and even if he'd have been a bad son, I'd done it. But anyway. Anyway, happy birthday. Glad everything's going good for you. All those brats you got at home. So
yeah, we had a good time last night.
Wife, too. Yeah.
That's fun.
Okay. If I am at Alabama and coaching, I spend night and day working with the offensive line because the quarterback is terrific. If he has 1 second to throw that football, he's going to throw it at the right place. He's better than anybody y'all that heard the show before have realized. I'd work night and day. I get my running game going a little bit till I get it better. This Booger Bear can put it on the line. I bet that offensive line would work. I'd work their fanny off. I'd brag on them. I'd tell them how good they were, what we can do if they keep blocking. Because this Booger Bear is a real player. If I'm at Tennessee, I get off of Manny. I don't get on him, but I get off of him. I try to help him as best I possibly can.
Texas,
I don't fuss
you mean?
Yeah, Texas. I'm sorry. You got to get him right. Georgia, tough as nails. You go into Tennessee, and you win, and you get behind, and you fight, and you wiggle back some way to win. Georgia's tougher than cotton picking nails. Auburn. Not as good. Auburn played a team that's beat up completely defensively on the line. And they weren't bad. I thought they were. They had a lot of people out. So, anyway, A&M, a big win. My blue plate special split. I won with LSU. Let me tell you something. Florida played hard. But Lagway's about like I said he was. I called a shot. I ain't bragging, but I called a shot. I'm not knocking him as a person. I'm just saying he struggles like a Dick Stone in a double coverage. Vanderbilt's probably got the coach of the year again. There, I know Georgia was beat up. and the good win out at eight.
You mean South Carolina was beat up?
Beat up. South Carolina was beat up. And Clemson has question marks. I know they lost the last game. Everybody's fussing about that. Anytime you win big and you lose a couple of places like Clemson, Auburn, places like that, they want your scalp. And they're all upset about that. The Braves won. Dallas kicks the field goal to tie it, 64-yarder to tie it, and comes back and beats the Giants. I like the guy at the Giants. I like the coach there. He was at Alabama. He gave magic tricks down there on one of our football trips, and he can really do magic. He can't do magic with the Giants. That's about all. Bears Day for me today, and we welcome your calls, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, we got some friends we actually met last year from Nashville. We had a couple of tailgates, and they were tailgating beside us with a tent on the quad. So anyway, to make a long story short, we went in with them and do it again this year. So we got down there, and we had no intention of going to the game. Well, one of the ladies, sweet lady, she has six tickets. And so she was like, do y'all want to go to the game? And I'm sitting there thinking, not really. And I don't know how to chase when somebody says they have tickets and they're going to give them to you. How do you ask the question, where are they, without sounding like a snob? Because if she told me those things were in the upper deck, then I was going to decline. So somehow we worked around. Some of them were on the 10, and she had some. She said they were on the 50. So I said, 50, I'll try it. So we went to the game, Jenny and I did, and man, it was hot, Chase. That it was hot in there.
105.
And we were very low. We were right behind Wisconsin's bench. And when I saw how slow them boys were, I said, they're going to be in trouble today. They're big.
They'd be dead putting the uniforms on.
Yeah, they're big, big. And that heat, Chase, they had no chance in that heat. So
Your coaches can't talk about that. Neither coach can, but that you're exactly right.
But Jenny, I said, all right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Right in the second quarter, I'll go get the car. We parked almost up at the hospital. You go to the quad, get our stuff together. I'll drive down there and pick you up. And I'll get as close to the quad as I can. And she looked at me and said, well, I left my keys in the purse, and I left my purse at the tailgate. I'm like, dude, what? You left your purse at the tailgate?
Oh.
You leave your purse just sit? Well, I'll be down, put it on. So we didn't have the car keys, so we had to walk.
Oh, no. Jenny's fault.
Yeah, we had to walk back to the quad, get the keys, and then we had to lug everything and just walk to get the car. So I missed the kickoff return. Did they run the kickoff back in the third quarter? What happened?
I don't
even remember. Anyway,
I went to the restroom in my house and wasn't anybody in front of me.
If I were Greg Byrne, you know, it was a good crowd, but there were plenty of seats in there, plenty. And I think it was because it's 11 o'clock game, plus it's so hot. I mean, you only get so many opportunities. Man, don't play that game at 11 o'clock in Tuscaloosa. Let's play that thing at night where they can get people in here. I know TV dictates all that, but I just don't see the benefit of that 11 o'clock game. It was good. They did run the kickoff back. I got in the car, and I guess Alabama scored fast too, so it was all you people that were complaining about Ryan Williams, you got to give him a little credit now. He played well. And all the people that were killing Bray Hubbard. Now, the two interceptions, I think Matt could have picked those balls off. But he played hard, man. He was coming after those ball carriers. So not only did he not play well against Florida State, he talked about it, he backed it up, and he's come ready to play. So you got to give him credit for that, right? I thought they played hard, Dad, didn't you?
Yeah, they did. I just think Ty was so darn good.
They have no running game. None. Right now. The line can't block.
We'll throw over it.
The line can't block for some reason. And I'm not going to blame the running backs, but somehow you're right. They got
to get a running.
They got to get that fixed.
When I was a kid against Georgia, because you beat open, but you bet the open, you better get a running game.
Now, Jack told me that somehow Wisconsin's defensive line was like fifth or sixth in the country against a run. I'm going to take him at his word on that. So maybe they were. So maybe that was just.
It's a young season, son.
Yeah. So. Anyway. All right. We'll get to break here. I was supposed to get up with my man Phillip, and I didn't. We never got up. I got him holding here. And I feel sorry for guys like Phillip, man. If you're a football player in Alabama, you got to play hard for guys like Phillip. Phillip drove all the way over here. That heat whipped me, and Jace, I didn't even stay two full quarters, and I went home. I could get home my house in 12 minutes. Phillip, I'd drive back to Georgia. Are you kidding me? And I tell you what, boy, the Alabama's got a lot of fans that love Alabama football. So just for that, you got to play hard, and they did. So give them credit. 2 minute truck, they're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local. Out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. 205-247-5050. 2 minute a truck. Movers, who care?
Trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. The latest drought report shows conditions across Alabama are rapidly worsening, with nearly half the state now experiencing some level of drought, including all of West Alabama. Southern Tuscaloosa and Pickens County and all of Greene and Hale counties are in moderate drought. Most of Marengo County is listed in severe drought. The rest of West Alabama is abnormally dry. October is historically Alabama's driest month. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more local news. I'm Don Hartley.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning to you and happy back to work Monday. Starting to gain a little bit of volume as you move into primetime travels on the southbound lane to 43 onto McFarland. Now slowing down back to Flatwoods Road is pretty typical. And also McFarland at Lurleen Wallace, that intersection is starting to get a little more volume there as well.
And freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Portable diesel generators. True South Generators, 205-609-2642.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The long dry spell continues today, mostly sunny with a high at 91. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 90 and 93. Thursday, the sky partially sunny, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Man, Vanderbilt, had a guy who won't know about the South Carolina game, so I text JC before the game. He said, tell that guy not to touch that game. He should have thrown a bet on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, South Carolina, I know their quarterback got hurt, but they're not near as good as they've been. So, anyway. But that crowd in Columbia was juiced and ready to go. I thought it was going to be a big-time game, and then Vanderbilt just mopped the floor of the Gamecocks. But what a crowd they had in Columbia starting that game. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Morning, Phillip.
Morning.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Hey. Yeah, it was a scorcher, wasn't it, Barry?
It was brutal.
I lasted until 7 minutes to go in the game, and I bailed out.
Yeah. Well, you're better than me.
Well, I tell you, it was just, I've been to some hot ones over there. It's not the only hot game I've ever been to, but it ranked in the top five, I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
I thought, I saw a lot of improvement, in my opinion. Somebody said too many penalties, but, it was seven penalties for about 70 yards. That didn't really stand out to me, but, of course, when you're at the game, you do miss a lot. So, but I thought from that standpoint, maybe that needs to be cleaned up. And Blake Hubbard did play a good game. He was a headhunter out there. I'm like you, the two picks look like he just sort of lofted them up there. And, good job. Yeah. Good job to see the ball and find the ball and do it. But they were odd-looking plays. The running game, I'm concerned about the running game. But, again, we were just picking Wisconsin apart, throwing the football. So it reminded me of the year when Saban and LSU came over and went against Alabama when Francione was the head coach. And, LSU set some passing and running records that day, I think, against Alabama. And I remember them asking Saban about the passing, why'd you pass so much? And he said, because they love us. Yeah. That was pretty much his comment.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, the pass was there all day long, and they could not stop our speed guys. And that was just the way the game went.
Yeah. If they didn't really have to run the ball. So I didn't realize they only had 71 yards so after the game, but they really didn't need it. Yeah. So I just, you hope if you need it, do you have it? Georgia, that'd be a 6:30 game over there. The schedule, as you look at it now, you got Georgia, Vandy, that's going to be a tougher game than we thought, at Missouri. Then you got Tennessee at home. I don't think that South Carolina game is going to be a problem now, probably. So, but the schedule here in the next month is tough. It's tough.
Bear, you and Wimp are going to don't laugh at me. I'm not so sure Missouri doesn't have the best team in the league.
Really?
Missouri. I said it. Those guys can run the ball.
They had to get out of the Kansas game. They had to fight to get out of the Kansas
game. I thought their quarterback was hurt.
Yeah. Well, no, but Kansas is better than you think they are, too. I'm giving it what Phillip said correct. They're darn good.
Yeah, they are. And Missouri can run that football, and they're aggressive. And that's their specialty, which is sort of rare these days. And they will run it down your throat. They'll run it by you, and they'll run it over you. Any kind of way they can run it, they will run it. And that is going to be hard game.
You'll have an idea of Auburn this week, too, in Oklahoma.
There are not many teams that could have pulled off what Georgia did on Saturday. To get down like that, they were down 8, fourth down. What a pass. I don't know if you saw it, Philly. Probably drive it back. Fourth down, they throw a fade in the end zone, go for 2, no problem. They get it. Of course, they had some luck involved. The kid missed the field goal. Can you imagine being that kid's parents when he's getting ready to go out there and kick that field goal to beat Georgia? And he just shanked it.
Can you imagine the offensive lineman that jumped off sides?
Yeah, but it's just...
that was crucial. Sometimes you just got to get up there and hurry up and get and kick it and try to get the game over with. But to me, there was a little bit of a snag in the game right there. And it seemed like it took forever to get that first attempt off. And I'd have to go back and look at that. I was actually made it home by that time, but the catch that Cash Jones made in the end zone, you talk about a clutch, beautiful, difficult catch. That was one of the better catches I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, great throw, though. Give Gunnar Stockton credit. They're just
– I give him.
They are tough. Yeah. Georgia's tough. They're tough.
They're going to be tough. I don't know. And I called that game. I told y'all it was going to be a basketball game. And it was. Now, I missed the Alabama-Wisconsin game. I thought that was going to be a tighter game, but credit Alabama to jumping out and staying ahead. But I hope they can get Tim Keenan back for Georgia. I don't know if they will or not. I saw him before the game, it looked like he was on some type of a walker. Like he had a device there that he was needing to get around with.
Oh, really?
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. If you got to play Georgia in 2 weeks and you're holding on to some type of a walker, that doesn't bode good.
Alabama's got to get a better entrance to the game when they run out. You know, with that, I don't remember when they played when Saban was there, but show him walking down that hall, and that place would get electric. That little run out they had, that was kind of weak.
Don't they play the same music they played under Kurt Saban?
I don't think so. I don't know. It wasn't as electric for some reason to me, but I don't know.
Well, it was too damn hot. I mean, they blow fire out of those little columns, man, which at night is good, but you can't tell it in the daytime. But I'll tell you one thing I noticed on the quad, man. You may have too, but you might not have. But yeah, I got there and I was kind of hungry and I was looking around for something to eat because there's nothing open at the third at that time except Chick-fil-A. But I was just on the quad and there weren't any food trucks really ready to serve people. They should have been ready to serve people at 7 in the morning.
Yeah. I don't know. It was good, though. I mean, they did good. They do a good job getting cards in and out. You go to a game in Columbia, South Carolina, it'd take you all day to get there and get out of there. So, yeah. All right, Philip. Sounds good, my man.
Well, talk to y'all tomorrow.
Thank you. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Larry. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Do you mind me asking? I think you told me one time my oldest son's a little older. You're approaching that 50 mark close, aren't you?
No, I done hit that 50 mark 8 times. I'm 58.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You don't have to say it like I'm that old, Larry.
Now, listen. I forgot how old my older son was. I said, son, how does it feel to be 50? He said, Dad, I'm 53. He said, I'm getting old. I can't keep up with nothing. But, Barry, my youngest son came up and was on leave. And we watched football all afternoon. I really pulled for Tennessee, and I hate to say that.
Did you?
I was really – you would think Alabama lost. Man, I was hoping them guys could pull it out. Did you see Philip Fulmer in the stands?
No, I didn't
see him. Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game. I guess I did see him show Philip Fulmer.
Their facial expressions of those folks, they kept showing it over and over again, but I felt sorry for that kicker. And I'm like, Philip, I don't know what they were doing that last series. I mean, this is like, what? They had it. They had it, man. I mean, it was theirs, and they just tumbled around penalties. That kicker's eyes. My son said, Dad, look at his eyes. Did you see his eyes? I said, yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, my guy at North River Lawn Care, his weed eater wager of the week was under 50. I was laughing at him. They about had 50 in the first quarter.
Well, I picked Vanderbilt, too. I did good, except for Tennessee. They let me down. I would have been 3 for 3. But my son he plays that online stuff during the game. He was on his phone.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't getting into that, but he did pretty good.
He'd lie bets.
But I want to ask you, where are you going to eat? Where are you going to eat?
I don't know, yeah. Probably Blue Plate Diner.
Blue Plate Diner, okay.
Blue Plate Diner.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about a big steak somewhere?
Nah, at lunch. We can't be doing all that for lunch.
So, I know. Well,
I don't know where the best steak is. You got to go to Big Mike's to get the big steak.
Isn't that the best place over there?
Yeah, but you got to go to Moundville to do that. So,
Well, have a great day, and it was a good weekend for football. We're gonna have a lull here. And listen, Gunnar Stockton, I was impressed with him. They picked on that old freshman safety all day, and it came back to bite him again.
Yeah.
He laid that ball right in the guy's arms, man. Right. I mean, perfect.
Yep.
But they're weak in the secondary. I'm going to say that. Now, what I saw, Georgia, we might could exploit that.
Well, they were weak.
They were out of place a lot.
Yeah, they buckled up there when they had to. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Got to get to break and get to Max. Did you see Notre Dame who dropped the snap for the extra point for Notre Dame that cost him the game?
Wow.
Did you see who it was?
No.
Tyler Buckner. Tyler Buckner, the one who transferred to Alabama. Snap, chase it, hit him in a bad place, right in the hands, and he dropped it. And they lost 41-40.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to Max Howell. Sorry, Ragged. Call us back. We'll get to Max Howell when we get back. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Good morning to you and happy back to work Monday. Starting to gain a little bit of volume as you move into primetime travels on the southbound lane to 43 onto McFarland. Now slowing down back to Flatwoods Road is pretty typical. And also McFarland at Lurline Wallace, that intersection is starting to get a little more volume.
LeeFilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room right here on Tide 100.9.
Inside the locker room, it doesn't have the yellow tag on it. You don't want to build the five-star backyard. You want to use pressure-treated pine from Great Southern Wood. You know that music? We'll get to the Yellowwood Hotline. Former football coach at Florida State, Ole Miss, radio personality throughout the South. If you want to cook, this is your guy, Max Howell. Good morning, Max. How was the weekend?
Hey, Max.
Had a great one. A lot of good football this weekend. And had a nice cook, nice cookout Saturday night as well. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But so, Barry, happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Picked that up also this morning. So, all right, give me y'all's opinion first, and then I'll tell you mine.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, the offensive line just needs to keep working because this kid can really throw the football at Alabama. He's as accurate as you'll find anywhere. He is a very I don't know about the running game. But I can tell you right now, he throws it on the numbers, boy. He's a good player.
He was the best quarterback I saw Saturday. I'm gonna tell you. Yeah. I watched three or four ball games in his completion. He did. He did an outstanding job. I was watching the LSU game. And I'm thinking if that quarterback's the number one quarterback in the country right now, somebody's missing something somewhere. I don't know.
That's what I thought all year.
Yeah, I think you may have even said this to us. I've never seen a guy, and I'm not knocking him, and it's not his fault, but Manning gets so much hype. He threw 10 incomplete passes in a row.
Yeah.
Do they have a backup over there, Max?
Oh, yeah, but they got too much invested in them. They got $3 or $4 million invested in that quarterback.
They booed him.
Sarkis has got that same philosophy, though, Barry, like the NFL. Once they establish that quarterback, He's gonna have to really mess up more than once or twice for them to change. I mean, that's when number one's in that. Coach Saban did that, you remember. He played that one on into the fourth quarter many times when they were way ahead.
Yeah.
They may substitute in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game. But if you're the number one spot, if you've got that spot, then you're going to stay. And you're right, Sarkisian's got week by week, he's going to have a challenge if something doesn't change over there.
Yeah, I thought George is just tough minded. They take the personality of Kirby.
I agree.
That not many teams could have won that game. You got down early like that, and then to be down eight and to make the drive that they made. Now they got some luck involved with Tennessee missing the field goal, but they're gritty. They're gonna make you beat them, aren't they, Max?
No doubt about that. They're as physical as any team in the league right now. And that's what Kirby's, built that program on over there. And I know a lot of people didn't know some of the young guys coming up, the portal's got something to do with it. We all have heard that. But those guys, he changes that attitude, evidently, when he gets them there. Because they'll line up and hit you.
And you know, and Tennessee did well. They're a skill set team, and I've observed that for years. When you got a predominantly passing team, when it comes down to the practice sessions every day to perfect those passing routes and pass protection is not putting your hand on the ground and knocking somebody out the ball. The first step on pass protection is backwards, and that does not create hard nosed football players. And Kirby doesn't do that. I mean, I guarantee he starts practice off one on ones every day in the line, in the offensive line, just seems to knock somebody off the board. And I don't believe a lot of other schools right there doing that.
Yeah, I also feel like South Carolina's a little overrated. I know their quarterback went out, but and then let's give Vanderbilt credit. They're a well oiled machine, and Diego Pavia. They take on his personality. I don't think that Alabama-South Carolina game is going to be as tough as we thought it was during the year. Yeah. But the Vandy game, at Missouri, the Oklahoma game, those games look tougher than we thought at the beginning of the season. So,
agreed. I think everybody probably suspected the Oklahoma situation, to get better by the people they brought in. Because I think they had to. They weren't going to have a coaching change. But I can't wait to see it. Auburn's got to go up there this week, and it won't be what they've seen up to now. They're gonna really have to play a good football game to come out and win with that ball game. But back to Vanderbilt, I think because of the history of Vanderbilt, Barry, nobody hardly gives them any. I mean, they still a joke floating around about Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt, but they're slowly changing that attitude about them. That coaching staff is, those kids line up and they know what to do and they'll get after you. They don't matter where they're playing, they're going to be the underdog, it appears, most of the time. But here they go. I mean, they came back. We talked about it last week. We already heard they were scalping tickets over at $200, $300 a piece for that ball game. And because everybody just put well knew South Carolina's going to win it. But no, that didn't happen. So, I think we just need to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
No, I don't have anything. I just think Oklahoma's going to give Auburn all they can have.
They're going to certainly know what the quarterback's going to do, basically, because that's where it came from.
I just think Oklahoma's better than they're very, very good defensively. Very good.
Right.
And I think Oklahoma will be. I think Oklahoma will be a 4 or 5 point favorite.
They're 6.5 point favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 6.5.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. I think this will be a challenge right now for Auburn. They've come along this year trying to put something together, but this is a different world. Plus, you've got to go out there and play on their home turf in front of their crowd. And, they're happy to be back, I can tell you that, from a fan's perspective. So, those Frazier, they'll have a challenge. This will be the first big challenge they've had this year, I think. But it'll be interesting to see how they step up to that one.
How does Billy Napier keep his team up? They got to go to Miami now after going to Baton Rouge and playing a very physical game. The South Florida's a very physical game. I mean, your players are tired. They're getting DJ Lagway. Dad was right. He says he's always said he throws into double coverage too much. And what do you have, five picks? And they got to go to Miami, and that line is 7.5. What do you do as a football coach to kind of keep your team in it, Max?
I don't know. Barry, I'm going to tell you, and I think a lot of it is just Billy Napier's personality. I don't know where you caught up on that, but the camera cut to him talking to Lagway several times. Did you notice he never looked him in the eye?
Mm-hmm.
He looked away. He was looking down the field all the time talking to him, like, and Lagway was standing off to the side of him. I've never seen a coach that was, needed to get a point across and did line up and look the guy straight in the eye and talk to him. And I saw three cutaways on that one thing, and I think that's just his personality. And when you get to this level, guys, and I've used that example before, I was with a Troy staff who won a national championship at that level where he came from out of Louisiana playing. And then I went to Florida State where we were number one in the country. And it is like daylight and dark. The quality of kids you have, the the way you have to play in practice. You have to deal with every aspect of the program, from alumni to, you know, to the media. It's just different. And I just don't think he's – but from the day one when they hired him, I just – in my mind, I'm saying that ain't going to work. It's not going to work, and it hadn't.
Yeah, that.
This coming – anything I know it's 2 weeks away, but just looking at 2 weeks away, Georgia-Alabama game ought to be something, shouldn't it?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. And I think, we kind of hit it on the head early. Is Alabama's got to work on that running game. They got to work on that offensive front. I'm still not sold on the left tackle situation. I know he's highly recruited. They talk about what a great athlete he is. I saw him miss three or four blocks. He cannot get outside to block the defensive end when the tackle is responsible for the rush in. Now, I noticed Alabama put a back over there to help him a couple of times, and he stepped out, and the guy came inside, the back picked him up. But it's just something about, I don't know, I know they got great talent, but for some reason, I don't know whether they, you know, aren't working hard enough on it, or they something had prepared for the stunts at the defense of the other side defense. And Kirby's going to throw the kitchen sink at him. You know that. He wants to win that game at home, particularly against Alabama. It's, what is it, 1-7 or 1-8 since he's been there? So, I mean, that's going to be a huge ball game, and it's going to be physical. And I hope Alabama understands that. Surely they'll look at last year's tape and they can understand it.
Yeah, the other interesting game, I guess, this week is South Carolina's got to get off the mat somehow. Kid had a concussion. I don't know if you can get back. They're traveling to Missouri. Missouri's a 13.5 point favorite in that game. How does South Carolina keep their head above water going out to a tough Missouri team to play this Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't. Who is the number two quarterback? I don't even know.
Doty.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't play very well.
No. So all right. So you got to take a look. Missouri's going to be tough. You know, I think they're right behind Georgia when it comes to physicality is concerned in the league right now. So South Carolina's going to have their hands full. I mean, I think they got to hit quick and probably hit some long out, long scores. They either got to pick, they got to get a return punt, or they got to get some completions 20, 30 yards down the field. But I don't believe they're going to line up just run straight at Missouri and win the football game.
Max, do you think this NIL has created a lot of parity across? I don't see a great team, do you? There's a lot of good teams. But, you know, Vandy's good now. Tennessee's good. Oklahoma's good. Ohio State's good. They're not great. Auburn's decent. Do you see any great team out there? Everybody had Texas number one starting out. They haven't looked good. Who is the best team in college football right now?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on who they play. You know, based on Saturday, is how good they're going to look. You're right. I think it really, in all fairness, from the fans' perspective, that's probably good for college football. The portal has, you know, been very controversial, we know, and I think they probably need to get it down to just transfer one time, and settle on that. But right now, I mean, how many schools across the country did we in the summer see how many transfers? I think there were 3,400 in the portal. And I'll bet you 2,000 of them got picked up.
Yeah.
If that's the case, I can count four or five teams that had like 50 people came in. Ole Miss was one of them. Colorado was one of them. I know. Auburn, I mean, we go right down to roster teams, you know, that you guys cover on a regular basis. And when you start bringing, you know, 40, 50 kids in, and this is that you bring them even as you get them in the spring, that particularly the offensive and defensive linemen, you know, you've got defense is easier to do it than offense is. But an offensive bunch with the team, and particularly if you've got a passing system set up or trying to, that's hard to get those guys to play together early. So I think that's a lot of it. You know, you didn't mention LSU. LSU was supposed to be the hottest thing in the country with their quarterback, and I hadn't seen that yet either.
Mm-mm. I think you got them ranked number three. They don't look like a third-ranked team to me. Do they, you?
No, well, no. But like you said, but who else you going to put in there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the committee. Of course, that's the people that write the polls. They got to just figure just like we do. Well, who is the best team? I will say to you till this day, and I have it forever, the ratings and all, and even for the when it comes down to bowls or playoffs, need to have a one clause in there about the level of competition. Who did you beat? Just because you beat somebody, 30 points, that looks good on paper, but who are they? Were they a division lower than you are? Was that a team that didn't have it, have a quality? But level of competition should play a major role as far as the polls are concerned. Whether you played them close, whether you play, where you lost to them, or, where you beat them handily. And then if you beat them handily, were one of their players injured or what? But I think all that needs to be, plugged in. We don't have it right now. We have to live with what's, the system that's set up. But I hadn't seen, to answer your question, that's a long comment to answer your question, but I hadn't seen one yet.
You know what, though? In the next 3 to 4 weeks, the SEC will start beating each other up. I mean, you got Texas A&M goes to Notre. They go to Notre Dame and win at night over there. That's a heck of a win.
Notre Dame had 2 weeks to get ready.
Yeah. So when this committee sits down, I mean, they got to take in consideration all these non-conference wins that the SEC has, and if a team loses two, maybe even three conference games, Max, they got to be considered for the playoff, man. It's a deep league. They're going to beat each other up here starting soon.
Well, the only underlying factor that we all know that they have, they're going to put, they're going to put some of the smaller teams in there. Just in other words, what I call just spread the wealth because of the money situation. They may have some team that San Diego State goes undefeated. They may have played one or two, teams out there on the West Coast, which we already know is not nearly competitive. It's what goes on in this part of the country. But they got a good record, and they're a smaller team. And you wait and see every year. I mean, how many times we saw TCU in there? How many of those clubs, and most of them don't get out, and it comes to playoff, they don't get out, they don't get out of the first round. It's almost like the basketball tournament, except you got 64 plus maybe 6 or 8 play-in games now that you got to worry about. Football is almost like that with some of the going to 12, and then the rumor is they're going to 16 teams. They're not going to have all 16 teams out of the major conferences in the country.
Yeah. We have a listener, and I think he's right about this. Do you think that they should wait till week 4 before they start ranking teams? Would you be opposed to that? Hey, let's watch them for 3 or 4 weeks, and then we rank them. We rank them now. You got LSU like kind of up there, but do they look like that now? You get them up there that high, then it's hard to drop them if they don't lose. Should we wait till week 4, or do you like ranking them right out of shoot?
The polls rank them right out of shoot is for the fan base.
Yeah.
It's not, think about it. How many times do we hear in the offseason the teams that lost early, when you got playing like number ones and twos, playing like Texas losing to Ohio State the first game of the year, that won't count nearly as much against them. So for the polls, I think we've all agreed for years that's for the fans to almost demand. They want to know where their team stands. Of course, that's, that the bunch in Vegas is going to play on that as well. So, I like it like it is right now because it's going to change. We all know it's going to change. You just have to be aware of, how much it's going to change and these teams, the strength of the opposition used to be part of the formula. Then they took it out. And I don't know whether this committee that's going to grade them this year for the playoffs. I don't know what part that will play, but that's a discussion point for Barry. If we're discussing here this morning, what do you think everybody else across the country is talking about? They do the same. They talking the same thing.
Yeah, like if I look at Clemson's 1-2. They're going to win the rest of their games. Are they a playoff team, though? They got Syracuse, North Carolina, Boston College. They got SMU at home, Duke. Yeah. That Florida State game's tough. That's at home. They got Louisville, Furman, and South Carolina. They might lose one more. But if they run the table, is that still a playoff team? I guess if they win the league, you ain't nothing you can do about it.
Well, I mean, look, how did everybody miss on Clemson this year?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. They had them right there at the top 4 or 5 of what they wanted to now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what happens on those teams that are projected early. You know, the guys that write it and come out with the polls and all that, obviously they've been, they talk to the coaches and all this spring, and everybody gets real high on it, but then when the season starts, in particular if they play a good competitor, then they don't measure up. LSU didn't measure up yet. That was, to me, a boring game. Florida had just gotten beat. You know, a lot of folks were excited. They thought maybe Florida was getting ready for LSU, and I'm not sure they weren't. But when you have a quarterback goes in and throws 5 picks, you've not got a chance to win, I will tell you. It's just a different, but the other things happen in other games, you know, that we can talk about, the reason the polls are like they are. And the teams that are surviving, normally are the ones that started off high. And if they get by, no matter what the point differential is, you know, if number one, number two play and they win by 1 point, number one does, they're going to stay one, regardless of how good the pollsters think number two or number three might be.
Would you guys, Dad, you answer this too. If you had a guy, you got to kick a field goal to win the game, would you rather have it like Tennessee was doing it? They're trying to get the ball, get a couple more yards, get the ball in the middle. The guy's over here on the side. He's kicking. He's warming up. Or Georgia Tech, where it's the last play. You got no timeouts left. Literally, you just run the guy out there. He does not have time to even think about it. And he just runs out there, snap it, hold it, kick it. Or would you rather have it like Tennessee, where the guy's just has all the time in the world over there to wait for them to get the ball? I like the Georgia Tech situation.
I think it depends on the kicker, though, really. His temperament. I mean, you know, you've got him at practice every day. He's been in games. None of those guys are freshmen. I mean, you come out there, you know what they can do. And I think now we're seeing with this parity we talked about, I think the field goal kickers are going to become more and more important. How many times have we seen it, you know, on the number of travel guys, it came down to how many kickers you're going to take. You're hoping your punter can kick an extra point. You don't worry too much about field goals. The field goal kicker probably is going to be the first kicker you're going to take now, because how many games, you know, are going to be settled by a 3-point margin. So, I don't know. I've looked at that and thought about it myself. It's not many, though, can risk run on the field. And those guys are, you know, you've been around athletes, and those guys that have a super skill set in one area, sometimes their personality, they're so focused in on that, you don't worry about that. But then if you got one who just happened to be a good athlete, and he's over there, you know, jocking around with some of the kids to maybe, you know, kick into the net 2 or 3 times and jog out there. That's psychological. But I'll give you one thing. When I was at Florida State, I worked in recruiting with Brad Scott. We recruited the top 2 field goal kickers in America. Both of them, back-to-back, year 1 and year 2, had made the front page of Sports Illustrated. And these were the best 2. I went and visited with them, brought them both to Tallahassee. And you remember the wide right stories that went through? That was the 2 kickers that were the wide rights were. We lost the ball game over the next 2 or 3 years. So, see, I mean, that's – we used to laugh at it on staff. But guess who coached the kickers? Coach Bowden.
Yeah.
So you don't criticize too much, you know, when that happens.
Yeah.
But that was just another – you could go get the best in the country. And sometimes they can't live up to the pressure, for example. So I said that goes back to whether you got to know who your kicker is and what kind of situation you throw it into.
All right, Max, what you cooking this weekend?
Man, let me tell you what we did. I'm going to tell you this last weekend. We had one of our guys, friends with one of the butchers in town, and that got a rack of pork chops, cooked pork chop, baked beans, coleslaw, and for dessert had a cheesecake topped with fresh strawberries. Ooh. I mean, it was good.
There you go, buddy. All right, well, should be a fun week. We'll talk to you about it Monday.
Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, boy. Bye-bye.
Okay, we want to thank Yellowwood pressure-treated pine from Great Southern Bay, the 7 o'clock hour possible. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Phone lines will be open 205-342-9904. We'll have to look to see how did Doug Bell do this weekend. I have to pull up his scores. I already know, but we'll talk to Doug about his picks and get his new picks. For this weekend, you listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A little slow but go on 69. Usual heavies here on the north and southbound lanes to Skyland Boulevard. And Skyland Boulevard, you're on and off the brakes a little more off than on. So that's good news there. Between McFarland and 69, pretty much normal travels. 43, a little slow but go here as well on the southbound lanes to McFarland. You're not even backed up to even 41st Street. So that's just stoplight delays. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Bengals edged Jacksonville 31-27 on a late quarterback sneak for a touchdown from Jake Browning, but starting QB Joe Burrow left after being sacked in the first half, hobbled to the locker room with a toe injury, and surgery is possible. Detroit got 5 touchdown passes from Jared Goff and ripped Chicago. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson with 4 TD passes in an easy win over Cleveland. Dallas won a wild one in overtime, 40-37 against the Giants. Brandon Aubrey tied it with a 64-yard field goal at the end of regulation. Philadelphia won at Kansas City 20-17. Arizona edged Carolina 27-22. Indianapolis beat Denver on a 45-yard field goal on the final play 29-28. The Sunday night game to Atlanta 22-6.
With all of your CPAP needs, including the new Luna Travel CPAP, call 339-8013 or stop by MedSouth in the Northbrook Plaza on McFarland Boulevard.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The long dry spell continues today, mostly sunny with a high at 91. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 90 and 93. Thursday, the sky partially sunny, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker, Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory. One schedule of service, rent a Toyota, all done at TuscaloosaToyota.com. You say, I don't want to fool with the website. I just want to go talk to somebody in person and swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard. Find Justin. We have him on every Wednesday. As he tells you, every Wednesday, they're not in love with anything, so they will make you a deal and help put you in one of those Toyota trucks, SUVs. Those Camrys are absolutely gorgeous. A lot of options out there at Tuscaloosa Toyota. All right, get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline. What's up, Ragged Glory?
Hey, Ragged Glory.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Nice, nice, Chase. Get the little clapping sound there, Chase. Appreciate it, guys. How are y'all?
We're blessed. Have a blessed birthday, Barry.
Thank you.
BBB, blessed birthday, Barry.
Oh, and by the way, may you have many more.
I appreciate you.
What is it, the big 5'6"?
8'5"-8". Yeah, let's don't talk about that.
Oh,
no, yeah.
Lord,
you're
young. I wish I was your age.
I'm pushing 65, dude.
Oh.
You got it made.
Thanks. Thank you.
68 is great for me.
There you go.
I just wanted to say something real quick, Barry. I thought about your son-in-law this weekend because I was pulling for Clemson, and of course they lost.
Yeah.
So I bet he is just...
He's crushed. Decided. We used to pick on him when they lost, but he takes it so hard that now we don't even talk to him for a couple of weeks. So
right. Well, I felt for him because I was pulling for, you know, Clemson for Dabo.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great day. I gotta
go. Thank you guys. Thank y'all. All right. Back to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Very good morning.
You gonna be mean to me on my birthday?
Absolutely not. I'm never mean to you. I just try to help you. I try to keep you straight. I am the sheriff. You know, my job.
Yeah. Well, you're the sheriff on Gary's show. You're not the sheriff on this show.
Oh, okay. I've been demoted already.
Yeah.
There you go. I thought Coach had a big announcement. What's up with that?
Yeah.
Barry's birthday.
Oh.
Barry's birthday.
Oh. That ain't no big announcement.
Is big.
That ain't no big announcement. Tom, what'd you think about the football team Saturday?
I don't have a lot of confidence in Alabama. When I saw the other teams around, we've got a long road to hoe. I'm telling you, we're not that good. And I don't know how it's gonna stack up against Georgia. Now I hope we win. Don't get me wrong, but I don't see it. I really don't. And I wanted to talk about Georgia. I think Coach Smart, he has hit a level and he's got a quarterback that he absolutely loves that's identical to him. I see why Coach Saban and Coach Smart recruited this kid so hard. Do you agree? I mean, He reminds me of Kirby so much.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's a no-name quarterback that really plays well. He doesn't have the pressure on him quite as much from the outside. He has a lot of pressure from Georgia people. But I think he's better than his abilities than people think about his abilities. I think he's smart. He's not into fanfare, and I think if you can do that and play well, that you just really feel, you know, your teammates feel better about you, and because you're not getting all the pub. And I think that's the way it's gone for Georgia.
He's tough, and Coach Smart's tough. That team is tough. Barry hit it a nail on the head when he said that they have taken on Kirby's personality. They have. I was amazed that they got 21 points down and they, 21-7, and they stormed back into that game and they competed so freaking hard. Both teams, they competed so hard, made for a really good ball game.
Yeah, it was just back, it just seemed like good old fashioned football. Two sure teams did. Going after, great crowd, great environment. But for Georgia to come back and win that game, that showed a lot. I don't think Georgia's great. I just don't think they're going to make you beat them, Tom.
That's a great statement. I'm going to say this. I think when I was watching it, and I'm not saying that Alabama can do it, but I think that both of those teams can be had. I really do. I think they can be beat. I'm not sure Alabama's up to the task. I don't know if Alabama's man enough to beat Georgia. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are tough in those trenches. I mean, tough. You might beat them, but they're going to be up there next play.
But I'll tell you what,
I think what Tom says is correct. I don't know if they're man enough or tough enough to beat Georgia. I think that's probably a pretty good statement. Georgia's mentally and physically tough. They know they've got a job to do when they get down. That's big.
Yeah, now, but they got that. I don't know, though. They have the mental. Alabama has a mental edge over Georgia right now. You always say that, and then they beat them. Alabama beats them. So Georgia's got to get over that hurdle, and they hadn't done it yet.
I see a different attitude in that coaching staff than I've seen before. You know, Max used to say, and I think it was true, that the problem that Georgia had a lot of times was on the sideline, managing the game and so forth and so on. We've seen examples of it. And it went back several years, but he always said the problem that he saw was the management of the game amongst the coaches, not necessarily the players. They're over that now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any weaknesses as far as the coaching staff and all that. They've been together so long, and we'll see. It should be I hate we got to wait till a week and a half
two
now.
Weeks,
to, yeah,
yeah,
2 weeks before we get to see it. But both teams should be well rested and ready to go.
Hey, Tom, where do you think I need to take Barry to eat breakfast?
I like Blue Plate. We like to eat lunch. If you're going for lunch, we like that for lunch.
That's right.
Lunch, yeah. We're going to lunch.
It's lunch. I forgot.
And then my second favorite course, y'all going to poo-poo me when I say this, is I love the Wayfarer.
Yeah, Wayfarer's good. They have lunch or just breakfast there, though?
They got lunch.
Yeah, there you go.
Used to you could go in there every now and then. You see Coach Stallings and John Mark in there eating and all that kind of stuff. And I like their decor and all that. But that's my pick.
There you go. Thank you, Tom.
See y'all.
See ya. All right, we'll get the break here. We'll pull up Doug's picks. We'll talk to him about what are they doing to get ready for the Ryder Cup. Man, next weekend, whoo, Chase, you got some stuff on TV. Alabama, Georgia, Ryder Cup, a lot of stuff to watch. Get through this weekend, and the next weekend is going to be an all-timer. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. It has been a quiet Monday morning thus far, but we do have a disabled vehicle now on 2059 westbound just before 359. I don't see where it's causing a huge to-do. As a matter of fact, motorists are only tapping on the brakes to maneuver around that, but no significant back.
Freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
272-22 or visit them online at catfishheaventuscaloosa.com to check out their menu and order ahead. Catfish Heaven, where every bite feels just right.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com and by DCH Regional Medical Center, online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, home of the original chicken finger and proud partner of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Visit us in store or online at Guthrieschicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Here are some post-game thoughts from Alabama football head coach Kalen DeBoer following Alabama's 38-14 win over Wisconsin.
Thought we came ready to play, and liked especially what our response was when we got stopped on fourth down. The defense come out and, you know, really not hanging their heads, and just the very next play getting the takeaway. And so a lot of different directions that thing could have gone after getting stopped there. Offense takes over, takes advantage of it, and moves the ball down the field. So that was really good to see the response to some adversity there. You know, love to see us do a much better job at the fourth quarter, just finishing. Got some drops there that, you know, our guys don't make, and so we gotta play better there. And then a couple penalties at the beginning of the third quarter, just, you know, it's nonsense.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year we honor the most important anniversary ever. An event that reshaped civilization as we know it. A day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills, starting at 6 p.m. You can listen to Crimson Tide Rewind across our full radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as a video replay available on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The long dry spell continues today, mostly sunny with a high at 91. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Wednesday, sunny both days, highs between 90 and 93. Thursday, the sky partially sunny, the high 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We're going to scrape up Doug. We got to get Doug. Before we do that, though, I want to thank Brian Harden. Brian sponsoring that Blue Plate special. That Blue Plate special was 1-1, so it's 2-2 for the year. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. Brian Harden Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big. No job is too tough. Family-owned, woman-led. That's Brian Harden Construction. Go to bhardenconst.com or give them a call, 205-759-1337. That being said, we'll get right to the Yellowwood Hotline and bring in our main man, Doug Bell. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Barry. Hey, Coach Barry. Happy birthday.
Thank you,
sir. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, Bill?
Do you feel old?
Yes, I do. I feel old, look old. So, other than that, I'm fine. How was the weekend, Doug?
Well, it was great. A fabulous finish. You know, I'm sure with all the football, not a lot of people paid attention, but the Pro Corps Championship in Napa at Silverado, and Scotty Scheffler ends up winning for the sixth time. Six wins, guys. He won eight times last year, and he won five times the year before. So what we're seeing is something pretty remarkable in professional golf. I mean, it hadn't happened since Tiger that a player has been this dominant. So it was fun. Nobody saw it because of all the NFL on yesterday, but Scotty Scheffler came from behind to win again.
Yeah, that's a heck of, you know, Barry's always won't know how much they won. He won a billion and a half.
Yeah, he needs that. He's broke.
Yeah, he needed a little more money. You know, and here's the deal, right? It's the beginning of the fall season. There's seven fall tournaments. And, you know, most of these guys that are playing are trying to, you know, improve their status for next year. But he only played because Keegan Bradley with the Ryder Cup coming up next week, not this week, next week, you know, he asked the players to play. And so Scotty agreed. And so he goes out there and wins. Ben Griffin, who's also on the team, missed a five-footer that would have forced a playoff. But I would say of the 10 guys who were on the Ryder Cup team who played, you know, half of them played pretty well. Justin Thomas didn't play particularly well. And some of the other guys kind of stumbled around. But the bottom line is Keegan wanted them to play to stay competitively sharp as we get ready for what should be this wild, wild and epic Ryder Cup in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. What are they doing? Did they spend a lot of time together this weekend, or what do they do? Anything special, Doug?
They did. You know, they had team dinners, and obviously out of Napa, you know, there's a lot of great places to eat, and I would assume most of those guys drink a little bit of wine. You know, that's kind of their lifestyle. And, you know, remember now the Euro team, they've been playing, you know, they played in England, the BMW, which is a big tournament over in London this week. Rory played, John Rahm played. And remember the European Tour, which is now the DP World Tour, they allow the LIV guys to play in any event they want, whereas the PGA Tour still suspended their guys. And Bryson DeChambeau, for example, wasn't allowed to play in Napa. So we're just assuming Bryson is at home practicing and doing those sort of things. But, you know, I think it's important. You listen, you guys are longtime coaches. You know how important it is for a locker room, team chemistry and things of that nature. And golf isn't that kind of sport. And they only get together once every 2 years for the Ryder Cup. And so I think what Keegan did was important. You get 10 guys out there and let's have dinner. Let's get to know each other. Let's talk about who wants to play with who. And I think that's a big deal. Whereas I think the European guys, you know, it's kind of their mantra, right? Which I laugh at because, you know, it's kind of like, hey, we're always the underdogs. We're the guys from Europe. We came from humble beginnings. Let's go show the Americans what it's all about. But in reality, they have just as many millionaires as the Americans. So it's kind of funny when they take that stance. But they've been hanging their hats on that for a long time. We'll see if it works here in a couple of weeks.
Now, when will these guys go into New York, Doug?
Next week, you know, they a lot of these. Now, listen, a lot of these guys like Rory and John Rahm and these guys on the European, they all live in the United States. They have homes, multiple homes. So this is not a big, you know, it used to be where these guys would come in over from Europe, and it was a big deal. But now all these guys, they just fly in from England. Most of them flew privately last night back to their homes in Florida. But to answer your question, Barry, they'll have a big ceremony early next week at the Stock Exchange and things like that in New York. Luke Donald, the European captain, Keegan Bradley. And then they'll start having big presentations, you know, dinners for the families, the wives, the girlfriends, starting next Tuesday. And the Ryder Cup is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal. There'll be two you know, matches in the morning, afternoon on Friday, same on Saturday, and then all 12 players participate on the Sunday singles. And if the Europeans can, you know, if you tie, if it's 14-14, the Europeans retain the Ryder Cup, the Americans have to win by at least a half a point to reclaim the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black, which I think they're going to do. And I know Coach agrees with me. I think it's going to be too tall a task for the Europeans to come here with that frenzied, I mean, it's going to be the craziest scene we've ever seen in the history of golf at Bethpage Black coming up in about a week and a half.
I hope you're right, Deb.
What's the key at Bethpage? Would it be the staying out of the rough for your driver? I understand the putting's key, but What is it that's the most difficult thing there?
Well, you know, it's the longest golf course they'll play, not only in major championship golf, but in Ryder Cup golf. I mean, it's going to be stretched back to about 7,500 yards. And it's a bomber's golf course, Coach. And most, even the great players will tell you, Bethpage Black is just a brutal golf course. I mean, the rough won't be as high as it would be for a major, but again, you have to hit it long and straight. And I think, you know, the key, obviously, key component is obviously when you're playing best ball, you go out there and get as many birdies as possible. But the one area where the Americans have faltered is the alternate shot. And so that's where you really have to put these guys together and who's going to benefit. I mean, for example, Ben Griffin, who finished second yesterday, you know, he's not one of the longest hitters, but he's a straight hitter. So, I mean, would you team him with a guy like DeChambeau, you know, who's the longest hitter out there, but maybe missing some fairways. So it's, there's a lot, there's strategy involved, which is interesting. And the other thing, not to get too much into the weeds, but, you know, when you play the alternate shot, you have to agree on one golf ball. And DeChambeau uses this crazy golf ball that was designed for him, which is a low trajectory. He hits it so high. So Titleist designed him a special golf ball that doesn't go as high because it rolls farther. Really? Yeah. And so, you know, whoever you team with Bryson is going to have to say, you know, yeah, okay, I can handle that golf ball. He hits it so hard with so much spin and such high altitude. There aren't many players, certainly on the Ryder Cup team, who match those numbers in any way, shape, or form. So some people are saying, well, maybe you don't play DeChambeau in the alternate shot because of the golf ball. But then again, there's others going, well, how can you leave off DeChambeau, one of the best players in the world? He's got to play all five matches, right? So I don't know. I can't wait to see who Keegan ends up teaming together. And
for some reason, DeChambeau might be a little bit difficult to play with. I'm wrong. Yeah,
I think you're right.
Well, I think he's more look at me. I think he's, you know, the atmosphere. Of course, you can't do anything about the atmosphere around the twosome. But I think he, from an amateur looking and watching, I think he's hard to play with.
Well, I agree. And you know, he's really, you know, listen, I like Bryson. He's a dynamic guy, and he's different than most golfers. But you're right; he will feed off the crowd. And the crowd wants to see a guy go up there and swing his. They want to be loud. You know, they want a guy like Bryson to get the crowd going, and then they want him to hit the tee shot while they're yelling.
Sure.
And he's going to do that. And he's going to try to hit it 400 yards, but he may not hit it straight. And so that may put a potential teammate into a tough spot. So, and again, Coach, you're right. Whoever they choose to play with him has to kind of embrace that craziness because it's going to be crazy. There won't be many moments where everything, you know, we're talking 100,000 people on a golf course. There's not going to be many moments where it's going to be quiet, where these guys are hitting maybe on the green, but everywhere else, it's going to be loud. There's going to be people scurrying around everywhere. And the stars that'll be walking around, I mean, Michael Jordan will be walking inside the ropes following his favorite matches. You know, he's a close friend with Keegan Bradley. And you know, Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimming star, he loves golf. So it'll be a who's who as far as stars, which will probably even make it more exciting.
DeChambeau, I get him the tee off first, get him out of there. Get his 18 old.
Do they have people come and speak to those guys, Jordan?
They do. Yeah, they do. And Keegan's already said that he wants Michael to come and talk to the team. You know, in the, I guess you call it a locker room. Yeah, kind of like team sports. They call it the team room, actually, in the Ryder Cup. But, yeah, he's invited Michael to come in, and Michael has agreed to come and talk to the team. So, and he, among others, will come and talk. You know, I remember when Paul Azinger, he's the first guy when they won at Valhalla. This was probably, 16 years ago? And, you know, he was first guy. Yeah, he was first guy to put the team in pods. You know, he had everybody in four-person pods, you know, the dynamic player, the calm player, you know, I can't remember the third classification, but he had, like, Navy SEALs that came and spoke to the team beforehand and things of that nature. So he did it a little bit differently. They were successful, so I can't wait to see what Keegan has in store. Again, as I've told you guys, and you guys know this, you know, you've dealt with basketball players and great athletes your whole careers. Golfers are different. This is the one time in their lives, once they get past college, that they're part of a team again. And so they really embrace it, but at the same time, it's completely different, and they have to control their nerves. you know, you say, well, there's always big crowds for major championships. True, but there's not going to be anything quite like this. And even Justin Thomas has said the most nervous he's ever been in his life, whether it was teeing off at a major championship or wherever, was teeing off at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of fun to see golfers have to deal with something that other athletes deal with all the time in team sports.
People can't appreciate you standing over a 6 foot putt. It means something. Yeah, I mean, they really don't. It's a booger to do something like that. As far as just watching and not, you know, I think it's sometimes something that people just they underestimate the pressure there, really.
Well, Coach, you couldn't have said it better. You know, I remember when the war at the shore. Remember Kiawah Island, and you know, we as a country, we had just gone into Kuwait, and the U.S. team came out in the army fatigues, and you know, this was really a tough. Dave Stockton was the captain, and in the end, Bernard Langer misses the putt on Sunday that would have decided it, and as Langer said in his, he goes, and hit my whole life, and here's a guy who's still playing at 68 years of age. He said he's never felt nerves like that in his entire life. And it was a 5 foot putt that he would ultimately miss, but he said, you just have no idea what was going through my mind and how I couldn't feel my feet. I couldn't feel my hands, but I felt the pressure of the world on me. So it was quite fascinating what these guys go through.
I would want somebody to speak to my team that overcame adversity. I think Michael Jordan's okay. He's great player and all that comes out. But I want somebody that had gotten to the bottom and came back to the top. That's what I want. Michael Jordan, okay, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, you know, Michael's Michael, but you're right. He didn't overcome a lot. he's had a lot of success in his life, but he does love the game of golf. And he and Keegan met at Medina. That was back in 2014 when the Europeans came back on that Sunday, the last time that one of the teams has won on, you know, the opposing team's country course. And that's when they met, and that set off a friendship. And Keegan wears those Air Jordan golf shoes and signed a contract with Michael back in 2014 that pays him a couple of $1 million a year just to wear those Air Jordan shoes. So it's all about who you meet.
He did get cut in high school, Michael did. So
well, yeah, did. I mean, I guess that was traumatic, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right, Doug, we've avoided it long enough. We've got to flip on to your football picks. Doug's picks. Doug, Oregon. -27.5, Dad. He said take Oregon versus Northwestern. I'm not great at math, but Oregon won 34-14. So that's a loss for you, Doug. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah. Tennessee. Thank God you bet this on Monday. Tennessee +7. You said take the Volunteers +7 versus Georgia. That is a win. That is a W for Doug there. So
thank goodness.
Yeah. Yes, thank you very much.
And then we talked about the crowd in Columbia. South Carolina Gamecocks. You said take South Carolina -5.5. Now, you didn't know the quarterback was going to go down, but that was not a close game, Doug. They got Vanderbilt absolutely skull drug them, so that will be a loss because then 5.5 was not even close. So that runs that record, Doug, to 5-7.
Yeah.
But if I know you, you're going to push yourself up, get up on one knee, stand up, stagger around a little bit, put some water on your face, and you're going to come back fighting this week.
Well, I'm 3-2, Barry.
Huh?
I'm 3-2. You said wasn't that? I'm 3-2, I think.
Let's see. Is he 3-2?
I am.
you were 1-1.
Judge mine.
Coach is 3-2.
He's 3-2.
Yeah.
I have to straighten out, Barry. Birthday or no birthday?
He's 3-2. he was arguing. Somebody called me, said he was on another show. So they gave him a different line than I gave him. I gave him the line. I just
They do it every cotton picking.
I screenshot it, Doug, and I send it to I don't make the lines, Doug. I don't make the lines.
He does it to me every time.
I don't make the lines. All right. I just look at them.
Finds the line, though, that's the worst.
No, I look at the same line every week, and I'm gonna do it to Doug. I got I'm on ESPN.com. That's the one I'm pulling.
Every time on the lost it by a half a point.
Yeah, well, that didn't matter because you had it. You had your good line. And they gave, all right, Doug, real quick, where are we going this week?
Well, first of all, I can't believe Coach was arguing about something. That's a shocker.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going. South Carolina at Missouri. What's that spread, Barry, 13 and a half?
Yes.
Did you see Missouri last week?
Now, we had a guy call our show earlier today. He thought Missouri was the best team in the SEC.
I'm not going to argue with that. In fact, they're going to be 5-0 when Alabama comes to Columbia there in a few weeks. They lead the Southeastern Conference in total offense. They're running back to transfer Ahmad Hardy against Louisiana, 22 carries, 250 yards. I mean, the kid was unstoppable. Bo Pribula, their quarterback, is a really good player, and I'm not sure about Lenora Sellers. He's in concussion protocol, so I was a little hesitant because of that. But I just think, listen, I'm impressed by Missouri. I really am. I watched it. I replayed that game and watched it. I'm taking Missouri to cover again, guys. I'm not going to go for those crazy point spreads anymore. I learned my lesson last week with Oregon. But I think Missouri wins by at least two touchdowns or more against a beat-up South Carolina team in Columbia.
All right. I have to say I like that one. South Carolina,
yeah,
they're not doing it for me. All right.
They're struggling.
Yeah.
All right, how about this, guys? This is the early game on Fox. Michigan State, Southern California, USC, they're both 3-0. You know, they haven't met in like 20 years, which I found amazing, but now obviously they're in the same conference. Lincoln Riley has a nice team, guys. He kind of got beat up in the media the last couple of years. Jaden Maiva, their quarterback, really good. They lead the country 7 yards per carry on the ground. USC, defensively, they're better. They have 6 interceptions now over 3 games defensively. I'm telling you, Michigan State, 3-0, good for them. But they get blown out by USC on Saturday. Blown out.
All right, well, the line, you think blown out by more than 16 and a half? Because yes, that's the line.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yes.
So take USC minus 16 and a half. Wow, Doug. All right, your last pick.
All right, and I'm 2-0, so that pulls me even for the year. Okay, Auburn at Oklahoma. Jackson Arnold, I've been watching all these podcasts and listening to all these. God. Jackson Arnold's big return to Norman. I mean, this is a big deal in Norman, Oklahoma, two undefeated teams. Oklahoma's best defensive player, Mason Thomas, out the first half, targeting last week. And I think that is a big miss for Oklahoma not having – he's their guy. I mean, he puts pressure on everybody, outstanding NFL-caliber player. I like Jackson Arnold, guys, and we talked about Mateer, the Oklahoma quarterback. I like Auburn getting points on the road. I think they're going to win the game. But I just think Auburn getting points on the road is too good to pass up in this one, which is a very significant game.
Great. How many points is it?
6.5.
6.5.
Great. Day in the morning, you can go down. There ain't no way Auburn's going to Oklahoma.
You say win, they just got to.
Yeah, they just got to keep it tight.
Keep it under 6.5.
With a defense as good as Oklahoma's got, are you kidding me? An improved team?
Best player out for the first half, Coach.
Oklahoma's
best player's out.
Oh, yeah, well, you're way ahead of me.
No. The best player's the quarterback. But
okay. Well, he's pretty – now, listen, he's pretty good. But I like both quarterbacks. I really do. And I didn't realize what a big deal it was and how – I mean, that was a pretty significant departure, Jackson Arnold leaving Oklahoma under bad terms, by the way. So now he brings Auburn back in. I just think that's a high drama game. Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun game to watch. And I think it'll be a close game till the end. And I think Auburn with the 6.5 comes out a winner, at least on our end.
Yeah, you better hope it's close all the way if you want to win that. So.
that game right there. Yeah,
that'll probably be the one he hits, though. That'll be the one you don't think he's going to hit. He'll probably hit. But
I got a telephone call from him the other day from Doug, and he didn't even know he was talking to
him. Really?
Yeah.
Did you butt dial him, Doug?
I don't want
to have Barry, I get calls from Coach, and I don't know what to do sometimes. I just listen. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to say sometimes when he calls.
I'm glad it was the right call.
Yeah. So. All right, Doug. Got anything with Casa de Campo before you go?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going down in December, guys. CasaDeCampo.com. They're cutting the ribbon on Teeth of the Dog. There's four courses there Pete Dye designed. Jerry Pate has been redesigning Teeth of the Dog. Seven holes open up to the ocean. It is just magnificent. I'll be down there second week of December for the ribbon cutting. And check it out. Best golf in the Caribbean, CasaDeCampo.com.
Tough job.
Five and seven, Doug. 5-7.
Eight and seven next week when I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah, we hope so. We'll have a party if that's true. Thank you, Doug.
Happy birthday, Barry.
Thank you, Doug. All right, Dale. Let's talk about Bryant Bait. We got to get that vinegar tip for my birthday.
Well, Bryant Bait, the outstanding bank. You go in there, they'll know you the second time in there. If they don't know you the first time, they'll do everything they possibly can to be sure that your business and personal accounts are worthy of help, and they will do everything they possibly can to do so. They will be sure that your money is safe. You can bank online around the clock. You will meet people that in there can help you, not only from the head man, but all the facilities are great. Bryant Bank has really come on big. So go by Bryant Bank. Tell me you heard it inside the locker room, and you will do them a favor and yourself a favor, especially yourself in saving your money.
All right, we'll take the break and get back, get the vinegar tip for this September the 15th. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Found some trouble on Highway 69 now. And this on the northbound lanes at Mid-Mary Road is where you have a fender bender sitting on the shoulder now. Otherwise, traffic moves pretty nicely on McFarland Boulevard. Not finding any serious delays between Watermelon and Lurline Wallace.
Cityfilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I feel good. I knew that I would not.
Inside the locker and the vinegar tip for this Monday is brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. Give Michael a call. He's over at 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200, right across from Indian Hills over there by Talbot. He can set you right up. He's doing it for us, and he will sponsor this vinegar tip for this Monday. What is the tip?
Well, I'm going to tell you something now. When we talk about vinegar tips, we talk about personal stuff for you, make you well. We talk about stuff in the kitchen. We talk about stuff in the bathroom. We talk about a lot of different stuff. We're going to talk about some cooking stuff with apple cider foulon. But today we've gone back to you personally. If you ever have a nosebleed, if your nose is bleeding and you can't get it stopped, now, first thing you're going to do when you get that nosebleed, you got kids that get nosebleeds, or you get a nosebleed, you got to sit them up upright, and then you got to lean the head forward, so and sort of pinch the nostrils between your two fingers for about 10 minutes, and the blood will clot, kind of stop bleeding. But the best angle to do it is to get you apple cider vinegar. get you a small size of cotton ball, a cotton ball, and soak that cotton ball in apple cider vinegar. After you set those booger bears up, after you set those boys or girls or whoever's got it up, and you tear that off and you take that cotton ball and you soak it in apple cider vinegar and you squeeze it out gently and you get all the drip out of it and you put that cotton ball into the nostril. Now, listen, that bleeding is not too far up there. Be careful. Don't get that cotton ball so far up there you can't get it out. But most bleeds happen in the front blood vessels, they say, near the front of the nasal passage. So be darn sure that when you put that cotton ball up there, because that cotton ball is going to take care of it, and that cotton ball is going to have a lot of apple cider vinegar. You're going to rinse that apple cider vinegar, they're going to squeeze it before you put it in there. And then you're going to feel much better, and that cotton ball is going to do the trick. And that cotton ball is going to do the trick. You know why? Because you're using apple cider vinegar.
There you go. So that, how long will it take for that bleed to stop?
Well, it won't take long. Apple cider vinegar, have it, you can pull that right back out. It won't bleed after that.
Okay. That vinegar tip there, that nosebleed tip with apple cider vinegar, brought to you by Michael McGuire and State Farm Insurance. You're in good hands. No, that's Allstate. I'm sorry. Wow. State Farm. I'm sorry, Michael. That's not good.
Hey,
that's terrible. Give me a break.
Holy smokes.
Auto, motorcycle, homeowner, condo, pet insurance. You got your pet insured? Dad,
I got my pet insurance. Yeah. You're darn right. I've got to believe that.
You got pet insurance? No, you ain't got no pet insurance.
I was thinking about having.
Go to coverageforttown.com. You can pull him up. Give him a call, 205-752-8500. All right. I think we're behind on the breaks. We'll double these on the back end there. Any game stand out to you this weekend?
I think it's a week. Very good. Yeah, you've got Miami and
you got UAB at Tennessee.
Oh, that ain't no good. I mean, that's a booger. The Auburn game's not bad. It's a pretty good game, but the Miami game is not very good. Florida's in Miami, aren't they? And Florida's in Miami.
Florida's in Miami. Yeah, that game's.
I think he got his guys playing hard the other day at Florida. I was really surprised. I don't think he's a bad coach. Everybody says he is. Maybe a bad recruiter. I don't know. But there's just one thing after another with Florida. Those two games, Florida, Miami, and Auburn and Oklahoma, stick out, I think, more than the rest of them. But the rest of them is kind of just the ho-hum, you know, good against bad, basically speaking.
Auburn, Oklahoma, that game didn't interest you?
Yeah, that's the one I saw about. Oklahoma, Florida.
Yeah.
Florida and,
Southeast Louisiana at LSU, that ain't firing you up?
No, crap, no. It don't fire me. UAB at Tennessee. That's all that is, write me a check.
Yeah, UAB. You got Arkansas traveling to Memphis. Tulane.
You better be a little bit careful with that game, man.
Yeah, they're going to be flat. Yeah. Line six, Tulane going to Southern, going to Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin better have his team ready. 12.5-point favorite. Northern Illinois takes on Mississippi State. Mississippi State go to 4-0. South Carolina at Missouri. Georgia State travels to Vanderbilt. That won't be a game. And Sam Houston. When is Texas going to play somebody? They're playing Sam Houston.
It's the weakest week we've had, Barry.
Good Lord. They played San Jose State, UTEP, and now they're playing Sam Houston.
We got to get Manning straight.
Manning's not very good.
Oh, he is, too. He's good.
He's okay. He was the Heisman Trophy favorite going into the season.
He ain't as good as Ty.
Well, then... No, he ain't as good as Ty.
Ty
ain't as good as Keelan Russell. All right, we got to get out of here. That's it for today's show. Keep it locked in for the Gary Harris Show. Gary being ready to go. Thank you, Chase. You listen to Tide 1.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.